Let's hear the word of the Lord. Everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on the house, but it did not fall, because it had been founded on the rock. Everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain blew, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell, and great was its fall. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Please pray for me as I seek to preach this text. Pray for yourselves as you sit under the proclamation of God's word. Let's pray. Our God and Heavenly Father, many of us are weary as we approach the end of the day. The things that have occupied our time throughout the week, the things, O Lord, that have occupied our attention today and attending them to worship, which is a blessing to your people. And yet, Lord, as we approach the end of the day, weariness can come upon us. So we pray for your grace and help. Ask you to be with me as I preach your text, or your word, this text to your people. Cause them to hear and to understand, and may it be profitable to them, we ask. And Father, we pray that you would bless us with your grace to understand and write your word and to be changed by it. In Jesus' name, amen. As I said a moment ago, this is the conclusion in chapter 7 of the Sermon on the Mount that is recorded for us in Matthew chapter 5, 6, and 7. It is the crescendo, if you will, at the end of the great sermon that Christ has preached, and a call to attention as well. When I was in seminary, Dr. Rayburn said for us young preachers to imagine him sitting on the back row, and at the conclusion of each sermon, him raising his hand and saying, "Now, what am I supposed to do?" Well, Jesus is telling us here what we're supposed to do in these verses. In 1969, when Camille came through Mississippi, 2005, a storm called Katrina, you've heard of it, came through Mississippi primarily and took away Waveland completely. And Biloxi and Gulfport were devastated by Katrina. There were houses that stood on the beach in Biloxi for over 150 years that were completely gone. There was no evidence of them standing at all. My guitar teacher had a nice place on the beach in Biloxi, and there was no sign there had ever been a house standing there. Entire rows of homes were gone. One house was standing. One house withstood it, and it was the home of Jeff Davis. Jeff Davis' home did not wash out to sea. And the reason it didn't wash out to sea, besides the Lord loved the man so much, the reason it didn't wash out to sea is because it was built up about 7 feet off the ground. It was 7 feet between the bottom of that house and the ground. It was on a foundation that was elevated, if you will, but nonetheless a good, solid foundation. The other homes did not have that. And so they were lost in the Mississippi Sound at the end of that storm. And quite a storm it was. Well, Jesus here in these verses tells us about two individuals. There are two ways of looking at the world, two ways of considering the words of the Lord Jesus Christ, and they are variant. They are entirely different. Where one described here embraces the words of Christ in faith, the other one does not believe the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so that we would see, because God's word is true and reliable, we do well to put our trust and hope in it. Because the word of God is true and reliable, we do well to put our trust and our hope in it, to believe in and rely upon the words of the Lord Jesus Christ, upon the words of the scriptures. Well, you have two builders. They are both religious in nature. One's not an atheist. Christ does not present them to us as one being a believer and the other being a non-believer, in the sense that they do not believe in God. They both have a sense of the existence of deity. They both believe that God exists. They have both heard the gospel as presented here. They both know the word of God. They understand intellectually what that word says and what that word portrays to them. They know of the nature of man's sin. They understand that man has to have a relationship with the living God. The difference is, how are they going to have that relationship? Where one here in the story before us believes the words of Jesus and the other does not believe the words of Jesus. But again, keep in mind, they are both religious by nature. But how will they have a relationship with God? And we learn from this that all people are resting upon something. All people in this life rest upon something. They lean upon something. They depend upon something. They look for something to give them a sense of peace and security. In our own day and age, there are so many things that substitute for God, especially in our own country. So many things substitute for God. And what people find out is those who do not lean upon the Word of God and rest upon the words of the Lord Jesus Christ, they will be sorely, sorely disappointed. So here, one builds on a weak foundation. It's not solid. It's not supported. And what he does here, it was Christ would have us to understand, this one does not believe the words of Jesus. He's not resting in the truth of the Scriptures. He's not resting in God's Word. Where the other one is, here are the two men. That's the difference in them. One believes the words of Christ. The other does not believe the words of Christ. And we understand as well that we experience difficulties and trials in this life. That's what's portrayed by the storms that come up in the parable here, this little story that Jesus tells, this kind of a little parable sandwiched here at the end of the Sermon on the Mount. We experience difficulties and trials in this life. Everyone does. And they take various forms. It can be the difficulties in a marriage. It can be the difficulties at work. It can be succumbing to the ravages of age and pain and discomfort. A singer who can't sing anymore, a musician who can't play anymore because of arthritic hands. A speaker who can't speak anymore because his voice simply will not withstand the time and the energy that it takes to present the speech. Someone who has someone they love very, very much, and that individual is sick and not going to live. How do they deal with these things? Difficulties related to job and finances, and on and on and on the list could go. And everyone here deals with things that are not pleasant. Either you have in the past or you presently are dealing with something that is not pleasant. And some of you may be trying to make a decision about your future. Well, how do we stand up then in the midst of those difficulties? Well, what Jesus said here, that those trials that come to us, we stand up under them by believing and trusting in His Word. And it's everything that Christ has said in the Sermon on the Mount. When He says here, everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them will be like the wise man who built his house on the rock. Well, what are the words He's talking about? Well, it's everything that He has said in the Sermon on the Mount. Everything. And it relates there. You remember how it starts out? The Beatitudes. Blessed the poor in spirit. Well, the self-righteous man does not consider himself to be poor in spirit. He doesn't consider himself to be poor in spirit at all. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn. Basically, it means mourning over sin. Well, the self-righteous man doesn't mourn over sin. And he goes through this, and you remember what he did with the teachings of the Pharisees. Where the Pharisees basically said, so long as you don't actually touch a woman and have relations with her, you haven't committed adultery, you're not guilty of the law. That's what the Pharisees were teaching. Jesus said, if you have looked longingly at her and desiring her, wanting to cast away your wife and take this one, that's adultery, said Jesus. The Pharisees said, if you haven't actually killed somebody, you haven't actually committed murder, you're not guilty of this commandment. Jesus said, that's not true. He said, if you are angry with your brother, you have broken this law. So that Christ then goes through and explains in the Sermon on the Mount that the law itself is applicable not simply to outward actions, but to the heart and mind as well. And we can violate the law of God by our actions. He also in here teaches us how to pray. He tells us that we are salt and light in this world. So all of these things that describe the character of the believer and those who know and love the Lord Jesus Christ, loving enemies and so forth, giving to the needy. So all of these things are in here. So when Christ comes to the end of this and he says, the individual who puts these words of mine into practice, that individual is like the man who builds his house upon the rock. And when the storms of life come and the difficulties arise and when he faces death itself, that man remains strong. That man remains confident as he rests upon the words of Christ. And the other man simply does not. They will react differently in the storms of life. One has looked to himself. One looks to what he might do. One looks to his self-righteousness. And when the storms come, because he did not trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, he is going to fail. And listen to this. You have some people who simply by the way they are wired will withstand great difficulties. They still themselves to things. They harden themselves to things. They're not pleasant people. There's no tenderness, no love in their heart, no love for Christ. But the day is going to come when their house will fall. And it might be at the moment of their death. And Jesus might be perhaps having us to think to that extent, to that far into the future of the lives of these people he's talking about, The day is going to come when all of those who have opposed Christ, who have stood against Christ, who have not heeded his words, all of those are going to fall. All of those are going to find that their lives and their hopes that they had based upon something outside of Christ was meaningless. And not able to uphold them and support them in the difficulties of this life. The pseudo-believer, the pseudo-Christian, the false professor will fall when he is under duress. But the one who stands in Christ will stand securely in the days of difficulties. The true believer will stand up under trials. It's wrong to assume, and Jesus will not let us assume here, that the Christian life is easy. It's wrong to assume that because you're a believer, things are going to go well for you and you're never going to have cars that break down when you're out of town and you're never going to have difficulties even within your marriage or finances or whatever the case may happen to be. Christ will let us know that you're going to face trials and difficulties in this life. They're going to be there. So don't fool yourself into thinking they're not. Don't listen to this health and prosperity nonsense that you hear from so many pulpits, because it is simply not biblical. It is wrong to assume that life is going to be easy just because we're a Christian. Things are going to come into our life that we are not going to like. But as we rest upon the promises of God and we rest upon the words of Jesus, that is where the difference is. And how we do that is trusting in Christ. Trusting in His Word. You know what it says in Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 4. As for the proud one, his soul is not right within him, but the justified by faith shall live by faith. So that when we come to the end of our life and we face our own death, how do we do so with confidence? How do we do so with boldness? How do we do so with certainty that when we close our eyes, we are going to be in the presence of Christ? It is by believing the words of the Savior. It's by believing the Bible. It's by believing the Word of God. And understand this, what Christ is talking about is something that is a day-by-day activity of how we view the world. And we ever bring Christ to bear upon our life, and we ever bring the words of God to bear upon our life, and so that our decisions are influenced and based upon the Scriptures. That as we make decisions concerning our lives, we bring the Word of God to bear and ask ourselves, is this in agreement with the Scriptures? Is this something that God would have me to do? Is this something that would be pleasing to the Lord? And we bring that to bear upon everything that we do. What does it say in the Scriptures? Take every thought captive to Christ. And so Jesus here tells us that we are to believe in His Word and stand upon His Word, and in the difficulties of life, trusting Him, we will find that He will support us in the difficulties of this life and be with us in the life to come. So are you trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ? Are you resting in the Savior? Are you looking to Jesus for your salvation and to Christ alone for your salvation, putting your hope and trust in Him? Do you bring God's Word to bear upon your life again and again? For there is where your comfort is. Comfort of knowing that your sins are forgiven. Comfort at the bedside of someone who is about to die. Belief and trust that at that time God's words have not failed, that those who die in Christ go to be with Him in glory. And that was the help. When Mr. Martin died, he was a good man. made good by Christ. One of the best I've known. Jesus did a great work in his life. And as we stood there at the gravesite, I haven't talked to y'all about that, it was very emotional. And as I preached his sermon, I filled the sermon with the promises of Christ. People are in glory with him upon their death. Do you see how the storm of death can't make us fall? Because we put Jesus' words to practice. All the scriptures. These words, Jesus, I think, is referring primarily to the Sermon on the Mount, but it includes all of Scripture. All the words of Christ that we bring them to bear upon our lives, and we find hope and encouragement in difficult situations. So if we would live encouraged and if we would have hope, we do so by trusting Christ and trusting God's Word and believing the Word of the Savior. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your grace and goodness to us. We thank you, Lord, for the promises contained in your word. And we pray, O God, your grace and blessings upon us, that we, O Lord, would trust you, that we would trust in your word, that we would believe your word, O God, and that it would, Heavenly Father, mold us and shape us to be like the Savior, and that we, O Lord, would be encouraged by your promises and live boldly from them as well. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.